It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a miss. And he got him with a breaking ball down and away. And in five innings, Cole Reagans has not allowed a run. And he has pitched around a leadoff double. And in this inning, first and third and one out. And he picks up Melendez.
Ryan LaFever on the call right here on 96.5 The Fan yesterday as the Royals grab game one of this best of three series in Baltimore. 3:38 first pitch today. Vern's on deck show at 2 o'clock. Again, we're out here in Lenexa at Jefferson's, broadcasting live till two, and then just hanging out watching some Royals baseball. We had a great crowd yesterday. If you didn't see on our social media, you could see how quiet it was right on before that final pitch from Urseg, and then ultimately, of course, the place went nuts, both the bar area and over here in the corner. So come on out.
I saw you high-fiving.
Yeah, man, we had a good time. We had a good group yesterday.
I'm not a big public high-fiver, but I'm not anti it, you know.
Yeah, everybody was high-fiving, feeling good. It brought back some great memories from 14 and 15, and that's what playoff baseball does, man. It does. And some of you were asking about T-shirts, I believe, during the watch party. If you're here during the watch party, we're supposed to have some shirts. That's what I was told by those higher up than me. So
you know what? If not, I have some. Not
retro,
kidding.
Some retro shirts?
I have some Cody and Gold shirts in the car.
Okay.
Remember when we brought all those shirts out to the K earlier this year for the sports equipment drive? I had put them back in my car to put them in our office at work. They're in the back of my car.
Okay.
So how about we'll promise some kind of shirt no matter what? Cody and Gold or 96.5 The Fan?
Yeah, for the first however many people.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many are in there, but I'll have some shirts.
Yes.
Okay, just come and hang out and have some beers. And if Vinny hits a home run, there'll be $20, 20 Royals rally shots floating around this bar, okay?
There we go.
Vern and I got you covered. You want in for 10-2? We can just make it an even 30.
I will go in if Vinny hits a home run. I'll also throw in another 10 rally shots.
30 rally shots. Woo! Woo! Bar's going to be feeling good if Vinny hits a home run today.
Vinny's 650 to that homer today. 0 for yesterday.
Yep.
Maybe he gets the timing
back.
But
he made contact quite a bit. I mean, it didn't look like he was lost up there. He just didn't get a hit. Because that's the key. I didn't want him to look lost after all that time.
This is a great text, and it's true. They said, I mentioned how I was high-fiving people yesterday, and you said, oh, I saw you were high-fiving people. You said you're not a big public high-fiver, someone says, as opposed to a private high-fiver.
Maybe just not a big open display
going,
of emotion.
Who are you high-fiving in
you
private?
You and I have watched sporting events together.
Huh?
I am not the loudest sports viewer. I'm not the, like, yeah! I'm just generally... That's not,
you're
not that I've never done that. I
that.
Tend to be yeah. more reserved, more of the silent fist bump type, you know? I tend to be a little, you know, that might surprise you based on the personality traits I display at almost any other time in my life. But that's just, you know, that's how I celebrate. What can I say?
So anyway, we're going to have a great time later on today at Jefferson's in Lenexa. We'll get right back to the Royals here in 5 minutes or so. But today, outside of baseball, the news continues to be around Davante Adams and where he potentially could end up. Now that it's pretty certain, I think, to, you know, the Raiders are willing to trade him.
He's going to go.
He's done. He's done with Las Vegas. He wasn't happy when they traded, or not traded, when they got rid of Derek Carr a year ago anyway, you know, after his buddy from college and Fresno State days and everything. And so naturally, anytime a wide receiver is available or anything, the Chiefs are going to come up and Chiefs fans are going to point at that receiver.
But Schefter, because Schultz, everyone is
because Rashee Rice's injury. But yeah, Jordan Schultz, Adam Schefter have both acknowledged.
It ain't happening.
One, it's unlikely because of the division. And then the other part is just their sources, which may be within the Chiefs organization, are saying that they're not a likely destination. We went through the financials earlier in the show. Yeah, for this year, because you're going to get through half the year by the time the trade deadline happens. Yeah, for this year, could you make another move restructure to make room for this year? Possibly. But he's got a $15.7 million dead cap next year if you cut him. So you're
45 if you pay
$44 million the next two after that when he's 33, 34. So it just does not make sense for the Chiefs. I'm with you. They need to go eventually before the deadline and acquire another wide receiver, given the receiver room. But that might be a Adam Thielen, Deontay Johnson, a Darius Slayton, Amari Cooper, best-case scenario type of stuff. DeAndre Hopkins, let him go to the Jets. Let him go to the Commanders. Let him go to the Saints. I don't care.
I'm only 50% sure he's actually going to get traded. And you're like, well, how could that be? They're saying they're willing to trade him, and he's saying he wants out. The financials make him such an unattractive player. The Saints just, and I mean just, got themselves out of a complete financial pretzel over the last couple of years in which they were up against it. And now they're going to take on a player and eat $15 million in dead cap or pay him $44 million next year to play wide receiver? Hell no. So unless he's willing to take a pay cut, which nothing about Devontae Adams' career suggests that that's something that's on the table, there are only maybe one or two teams that could do it. The Jets would be the team that makes the most sense, not because of the Aaron Rodgers thing, but because look at the situation the Jets are in. Bankrupting yourself if you're the Jets doesn't actually hurt you. Why? Because you're starting over the second. Aaron Rodgers gets out of the league anyway.
They're all
in. You are so all in. You have no – the Saints have some good young players. Chris Olave, Kamara's shown some second life. You know, Derek Carr still got some years left on his deal. Like, they have a good young defense. Like, they actually have some players that are playing well, under control. Like, they could say, you know what, we could build off of this and get somewhere a little bit. The Jets are just in. I know they have good young players, too, in Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, but they're just in it because of their quarterback situation.
Well, their head coach.
If that's the case, just sell yourself.
And their head coach and GM. It's not just like the Chiefs are all in, too, because they're going for a three-peat. But the Jets are all in for different reasons. They're all in because, yeah, their quarterback is old.
41.
And coming off an injury. Their head coach, Robert Saleh, I mean, it's pretty simple. If they don't make the playoffs or win a game or two, he's gone. Their general manager, Joe Douglas, right? He same kind of boat. Like, so that they're all in for their, like, truly job security is on the line there in New York. And that's probably why it's a little bit different there, not to mention Aaron Rodgers. I still think he's basically running that team anyway, let's be real. He is in charge. If he wants something to happen, they will make it happen for him. He runs that damn thing at this point. Whereas, you know, the New Orleans Saints, I'm with you. I think that Derek Carr angle's why the Saints come up, because he likes Derek Carr. Devontae Adams does. They're in a division that is winnable. Nobody, I don't think, even the Bucs, like, I don't think anybody's winning 12, 13 games in that division. To me, it's another 10 or 11 max type of wins the NFC South. Nobody's going to run away with it. So we'll see. I mean, the trade deadline got pushed back a week. I don't think Devontae Adams is getting traded tomorrow. Do you? I think this could take a couple more days or weeks.
This is the same thing. I think we always make it seem like there's teams who don't want to sell. Teams don't also buy this early either because it's cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And in the NFL, you might be 3-1 now and think you're really good, and then 3 weeks from now you might be 3-4. Do you really want to give up a second-round pick because they're asking for it? And also, I don't know why teams or people haven't figured this out yet, but if you are asking, if you publicly make it known via sources that you want a second-round pick, I know you'll take less. You've already too late.
Yeah.
You should say, I want four firsts, because the truth is, the second it's out there publicly that they would like a second-round pick, then you'd take a fourth. You take a fifth with a – it could turn into a fourth. Don't lie to me. The Chiefs also wanted a second for luxurious need, you know?
Yeah, you never get as much as you
think. Whatever it was.
For players, veteran players in the league, you just never get the compensation you actually think you're going to get at all. It just doesn't work out that way, you know?
No, it's incredibly rare that would be the case, and I would say that that'll continue over the course of this time. I think what you have to probably come accept, and what we'll have a couple of weeks to kind of dive into, because this is going to remain a storyline, and we'll find out the teams who are willing to trade as time goes on. Whatever you have your sights set on, I'd say Amari Cooper's maybe on the list because he's so cheap. I wouldn't rule out him. I think he's the best available wide receiver the Chiefs could actually get. Truthfully, I think you better set your sights on a D-Rob level of player. It doesn't mean it is DeMarcus Robinson, but if you're thinking what the Chiefs are going to actually acquire, what they're going to actually trade for at the trade deadline, I'd be putting your hopes on that. And look, I don't know, maybe by some miracle, the reports from Nick Wright yesterday or all these other people that are hinting at the Chiefs think maybe it's not a torn ACL for Rasheed. You can pin your hopes on that if you want. Another reason why the Chiefs don't have to rush just yet. At this point, you and I have continued to, and I will until the news is good, operating under the idea that Rashee Rice is not available to the Chiefs this season. I'm actually kind of operating that way on Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and maybe even Isaiah Pacheco. I'll count on those players being available and being useful to this organization when it seems like they're a whole hell of a lot closer to coming back than they are now. Would you agree with that at least?
The Isaiah Pacheco one, that one less concerned, one, because I do think he's coming back, but also Kareem Hunt's performance gave me a little more hope that, okay, if it ends up being a week longer, not quite as worrisome. But, yeah, I mean, for the wide receivers, you have to just assume they're not playing this year again for you. Running back, like, I think Isaiah Pacheco actually will be back. But Kareem Hunt's 1 week, yes, 1 week performance gave me some confidence. And, look, Clyde might be coming back, too. So I'm not as worried about that spot.
You're not? Well, I mean, yeah, running back. But still, Pacheco's better than both of those guys.
Well, of course. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you're asking, like, you look at the way the offense operates and what's easier to make up, the loss of Pacheco or the loss of Rice in Hollywood Brown. So, and if Kareem Hunt looks like he did in week four of the season and now can bring it into week five.
Yeah, I'm not here to try to argue the other side of that. You are correct. And that what's easier to replace offensively, and that'd be the case. But that also comes back around to what, you know, like the thing you just said about the offensive line to Ross Tucker earlier. If you missed that interview, it's up at 96.5thefan.com. But, like, if you know, like, the way that they're playing behind the offensive line right now, I think is causing people enough concerns that Mahomes doesn't seem real comfortable in it. So we're going to have to keep an eye out on that today. Today's Royals game is fascinating for a variety of reasons, one of which is something you had pointed out to me that we did not mention at all in the lead-up to the game. We talked about who has the starting pitching advantage, who has the bullpen advantage, who has the offense advantage. Managerial advantage? This is not the dunce versus the chess
master.
Oh,
yeah, that headline was so good.
By any degree. Mm-hmm. But I kind of nothing the manager situation in this matchup going into it. But after one game, one guy seems to have a very firm grasp of his roster, and the other guy doesn't.
Brandon Hyde, manager of the Orioles, really didn't mention his name coming in, to this series. And I understand it's one game, and they lost 1-0, and so it's hard.
So they do a lot of wrong things, sure.
Correct. But usually in the playoffs, you know, it's very easy to shift the blame, but also one move, you look like a genius if it works. If not, everybody does call you the dunce or whatever,
yep.
Right? So yesterday, Matt Quatrero, at one point pulls out Cole Reagans. Now, it turned out it was from injury, so people were ready to jump on that, but it was an injury, so that's fine. But then even later, people thought maybe they left Bubich in a batter too much before bringing in Urseg. It ended up working out, though, right? Urseg was still able to get the outs required to get it done. So he looks smart, you know, in how they did that versus Brandon Hyde doesn't walk Bobby Witt Jr. He lets his pitcher decide. Bobby comes up with a solid base hit, only run of the game. They get Ryan O'Hearn on base. They decide not to pinch run for him because the way their roster is constructed for this series, they don't really have a whole lot of pinch runner opportunities. So that's on the front office as much as anything. I don't think Brandon Hyde was like, oh my gosh, I can't, what a terrible manager. That would be silly. Although, I know in Baltimore, whether it's via...
They were really down on him.
Some radio out there, our Odyssey sister station, the Fan out there as well. Some of the callers, as you would suspect, are blaming it on him and couldn't believe it. I was surprised they didn't walk Bobby Witt Jr., but I also don't think it was like, oh my gosh, the worst managerial decision I've ever seen.
No, but it also was a questionable decision because of the Vinny thing, and I'm never going to go back and not think of it because of that.
Sure.
If this were game 111 and Vinny is a 100 RBI guy and Bobby's a 100 RBI guy and Salvi's a 100 RBI guy, hard to walk Bobby in that situation. Get one out and you run yourself out of trouble. Walk Bobby and you might make the problem worse. One ball to the gap from Vinny and this turns from one run to two and you have your ace in the hole, your number one pitcher up against Bobby Witt Jr. He beat him, man. I mean, it comes down probably more to that than why did they pitch to him. I wouldn't have pitched to him because Vinny wasn't game 111 Vinny. He was taking a full month off from a broken thumb, so I probably would have risked it. And if he had gone 3-for-3 up to that moment, maybe same thing. I pitched to Bobby, but he was 0-for-3 up to that point, or 0-for-2. I probably handled those things a little bit different.
But Q in his first postseason game got to feel good about overall just how that game was managed in a tightly contested game. It also helps when your starter is rolling the way he did. It gets a lot more complicated when your starter doesn't have it and you have to make the decision in a three-run game, do I pull him 4-to-3? Do I that's when it gets trickier.
Yeah, it's harder for them tonight than it is for the Royals. The Royals can let Lugo stretch a little bit because they have they have the win. Yeah. They have game one. Now, if it goes the other way, I guess, if the Royals lose 1-0 today, what's your confidence level they're taking game three?
Yeah, I mean,
pitching matchup, again, favors them even more in game three, but now the momentum back in the Orioles' favor, and the offense still doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, if it was another against this pitcher today, if the offense only musters 4 or 5 hits, then I think you're nervous because you know that it's going to have
one little mistake.
It's going to have to be in the margin of error. But the Royals do have the pitching matchup favored in their in their favor the rest of the way. So that's always October baseball. You always take pitching over the hitting. Yesterday's the prime example of why. Always. And this is why I think looking ahead, you think about the Yankees. Like, I don't know about their pitching as much. We know they can score in the regular season, but how many times have the Bronx Bombers gone cold in October? And so I'm always going to take the pitching. And right now the Royals have the rotation going and the bullpen going, which gives you a great chance to win. They were underdogs yesterday. The Royals are underdogs again today. And if it did get to a game three, I'm sure they will be underdogs tomorrow. So and they will be underdogs throughout this entire postseason. That's just the reality of it.
I went ahead and looked it up, although I'm offended by this story. I was like, all right, what are the prognosticators suggesting for what will the postseason rotation be for the Yankees in the ALDS? I'm not trying to look too far ahead. Again, we get to do that. The players can't. Slightly different scenario. But first off, the headline said, what the potential Yankees rotation will look like against the Orioles. Excuse me? This was written like a week ago, like 3 days ago. I'm like, excuse me?
What paper? Who wrote it, though?
The NorthJersey.com, but
yeah,
I don't care.
Because it's East Coast.
Jerks. Just dismissing the Royals' chances. Gerrit Cole would go game one. Carlos Rodon would go game two. And then the righty Clark Schmidt would go game three. Maybe Marcus Stroman, maybe Lewis Gill. But, yeah, they don't run three deep. We talked about this going into the whole postseason run. Yesterday only reassured my belief that the Royals are capable of a deep postseason run. Is it still the thing I would predict? Maybe not. But the Royals are capable of a deep postseason run because they won a game yesterday exactly the way I would expect them to win. They dominated in the pitching staff. They used the only three relievers I think they have truly high trust in. And their best player, Bobby Witt Jr., came through in the most pivotal moment. That's not like unrepeatable. That is the exact way they won a lot of games all year. So, like, okay, great. That's how they're supposed to win. They didn't win 10. In a weird way, I'd feel less good about this game had they won 10-9. I'd be like, well, this is no way to go about life. This is not how you win baseball games. What the hell are you doing?
I disagree a little bit because then I would have more
confidence. You won in a different way?
I would have more confidence that the offense is back. And I would say, it was a bad outing from Reagan's, but they got Lugo today. That's what I would have been saying.
Sure.
Versus in this one, yeah, I feel great about the starting pitching in the bullpen, but you said it 2 minutes ago, which is the margin of error is still so small because right now with the Royals offense, and the Orioles are saying the same thing on their side, if you give up two runs, I don't know how great you're feeling.
One MJ Melendez mistake yesterday almost cost him the baseball game. I mean, truthfully, it almost cost him the baseball game. And one high decision, right? One base running decision, right, by the Orioles did cost them the game. That is how
holding the runner at third.
But, like, the Royals' margin has been pretty razor thin a good chunk of this year. When you were a team built on your starting pitching who has a league average offense and, at that time, an implodable bullpen, well, then your margin was always smaller. I actually think their margin is widened a little bit if their offense can find some validation because the bullpen is so much better today than it was 2 months ago. It's not close. Before Bubich ended up in here and before they knew they had something in Sam Long, all of those things, the bullpen is so much better. And they could still use Singer out of there. They got other choices that they're not even, like, dipping their toe in the water of yet, Colt. So that changes the entire calculus, too. Because Brady Singer might very well end up being in the bullpen next time around, too, because look at the off days. They wouldn't necessarily need Brady Singer the next time through. They could go Walker, Reagans, Lugo, Walker again, based on the days off, if they got to a game four against the Yankees. Again, I know this is looking ahead, but that's why this game's kind of important.
Yeah, just like last Friday. Get it done last Friday. They did. That's why they were able to have Reagans available today. You get it done today. You have Walker available on Saturday night in the Bronx.
Cole.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not looking ahead as much as like the benefit of getting this thing done today, other than just the obvious, which is
you win. Clinch
when you can clinch, man, and get it done. And why even leave it up to chance in a game three and let any momentum get back to Baltimore?
To.
Right now, the Royals have all the momentum in this series. You can lose that. If you lose today,
just lose in any fashion, really.
Yeah, and I, some people are like, "Oh, momentum is not a real thing." I absolutely. We all saw it in 14 here in Kansas City. Is momentum absolutely is a real thing?
That's my whole problem. Is that if I don't think anyone, maybe somebody just hasn't had that experience from a, maybe nobody's gotten to experience that from their own sports team perspective. There is no way anyone in this town who watched specifically, as you said, in 14. Not a soul who watched this team in 14 does not believe in momentum existing. I'm sorry. That was an average baseball team. For a huge chunk of the year, they were looking to fire coaches, fire players, turn it all over, restart, get rid of Dayton. They wanted everything out in 2014, and they were down runs, bunches of runs in a wild card game in a do-or-die situation. They managed to scratch out a win, and they did not lose again for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Momentum is a real thing.
It is. The other thing I don't know if we've talked a lot about in this series, and this is why we were all nervous in the ninth inning when Ryan O'Hearn was up or whatever. Orioles, did you know, this is from Sports Radar. I just saw this come across, but it's relevant to the conversation. The Orioles, nearly half of their runs this year were all from home runs. So, preventing the long ball. But they,
There was only one yesterday. They're
not stringing together. There's not an Orioles team is not usually stringing a bunch of hits together to keep the line moving. That's not how they did it. The Orioles have scored 47.7% of their 786 runs this season via home runs. So it's gonna, you would say it's got to be a big bat of Henderson or Rutschman. If the Royals can keep the ball in the park. I don't think the Orioles are the type of team that is just going to scrape together three, four hits in a row and beat you. I think they have to have the big hit.
Which is harder against
the Royals,
team that pitches so well.
There's
a couple parts of that ballpark that aren't easy to hit it out of.
That's fair.
It's not New York Yankee Stadium. It's not the Astros Stadium. It is more of a medium-played park, similar to that as Kansas City. And they got one part of their park that is deep as hell. Really hard to get a home run out of. That one last night, 27 different ballparks that would have been a home run out of. So, 90% of the league, that's a homer. Wasn't there. Tough. That's the dimensions of the field. I don't care.
Up next here on Cody and Gold as we get closer and closer to first pitch. Once again, it's 3:38 today here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 2 o'clock. We'll get to what's trending, and then we're joined earlier by Cody Decker from SiriusXM, from Beetle and Decker, former big leaguer, former professional baseball player. Wanted to get his perspective, and we did, on the decisions yesterday and how he's feeling about the Royals. Does he think they get it done today?
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's next.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, we continue to get set for Royals baseball later on this afternoon. A chance to clinch a spot in the ALDS. First pitch, 3:38 right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show coming up at 2 o'clock right after us. And if you're trying to get out of work a little early, the place to be going to be Jefferson's here in Lenexa. We'll just repeat ourselves from yesterday. Same spot, same people. Let's just do it all over again. Cody's going to be hanging out this time. We convinced Drew to not leave in the sixth inning today like he did yesterday.
Smart.
That's the only thing that can't happen again.
You have a sales meeting with a Mr. Bancroft. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's right.
Just give him, I'll give you a number for them even to call and be like, did he really have a meeting with you? Did. Very serious. Whatever it takes to get you out and over to Jefferson.
I think Speck said he'll sign doctor's notes as well.
You're not even, it doesn't matter. Your boss, everybody knows, you're not going to do any good work anyway. You might as well just get out of there. The work's going to stink no matter what. You're watching the game on your phone, you're not getting anything quality done anyway. Next up on Watch Training, KC is going to get an NCAA regional
there
again in 2027. So they'll host the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, presumably at Sprint Center during that time. It's been a little while, I think maybe since the Jordan Bell game, maybe down there at Sprint Center against Kansas was the last time Kansas hosted a Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight.
No, a couple, not too long ago. Remember the year Houston was here? And
oh,
like,
you're right.
It was
Houston,
Miami, I
Houston,
think.
Houston, Miami.
And,
so a couple years
and
ago.
And KU lost early, and so they're like, the tickets were dirt cheap. It was a kind of a bummer of a atmosphere.
They also got awarded a 2025 NCAA D1 soccer championship
over
as well,
CPKC.
Which will be played over at CPKC.
Nice. That's
good day
cool.
For the NCAA in Kansas City.
Always good to get more events right here in KC. Next up on What's Trending, just some NFL news. Chris Jones named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's off to another great start. Of course, he was so key in the win against the Chargers on Sunday. I still think the conversation, I think it was Kay Adams that was saying, or Diana Rossini, I'm sorry, that he should be Defensive Player of the Year and all that. A lot of work to do for that.
Have we also just not been watching Aiden Hutchinson?
He's got,
are we just ignoring his game?
He had five sacks in week one or week two.
He's so good. He's been so good.
Now, he's on the NFC, though, right?
Yeah.
You know, but overall, NFL Defensive Player of the Year, you're right.
That's
you're dealing with TJ Watt as well and the sack numbers. I mean, Chris Jones would have to put up 15 or more just to be in the conversation.
I think so. Although this team will be carried by defense, so we can talk about that maybe tomorrow a little bit more. Next up on What's Trending, an update from bankruptcy court for Bally Sports. The Diamond Sports Group filing for bankruptcy today announced that they're dropping every single one of their regional television deals except for the Braves. According to reports, Major League Baseball was blindsided by this decision, now not knowing where 10 or 11 of its sports properties will be broadcasting television games at next week. That adds a whole layer and challenge to what we don't know what's going to happen with the Royals next year. Good news is they'll be on ESPN today, and they're always for free on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. But the Royals currently do not have a television home.
No, but they could renegotiate with Diamond. And
for less money. We just talked about how big of a deal it was. The Royals finally got a decent television.
Yeah, but I mean, they could renegotiate and still end up on Bally. They could also find a different partner. There's also a Major League Baseball could take it all in-house and then just find a distributor, Amazon, et cetera. So there's some other options. Like, the Royals will be on TV somewhere next year, I can promise you. And look, based off of everybody's feeling about Bally this year, it's hard to imagine it can be a worse setup for those that have used that as a reason why they didn't get locked in throughout this season. But you're right. Today, it's obviously on ESPN, and then, of course, you can listen to the games on 96.5 The Fan.
I would just prefer it be on one of my preferred platforms. Get it on Amazon. Get it on Netflix. These other platforms who've been trying to get into live sports anyway, Apple TV obviously already does that. Put it on a platform that already does some of it, and I'm in.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up, before we get out of here, we'll, of course, get our final predictions, how today's going to go, and lock in some more of our bets. Plus, we have promised some rally shots, I think, at some point in time, depending on what happens. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But earlier today, we had Cody Decker join us. The last time we had him on the show, we were out in Las Vegas at Circa. And at that point in time, he mentioned, hey, the Royals, if they advance, they get to the postseason, the Yankees might actually be a team you want to face if the Yankees are going to be coming off of the first-round bye. Well, that's the scenario that could happen if the Royals do advance today. But Cody Decker from SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio joined us earlier, and we asked him what he thought of the Chiefs and how that makes him feel given his history with the organization.
Oh, I'm feeling just as good as you guys are, man.
Well, you are a former member of the Royals organization. Do you like seeing him succeed?
Yes, I do. I was a big fan of that organization. Yeah, it was heartbreaking when they told me after they flew me to Kansas City that I am going to Omaha, and then they traded me roughly 3 hours later.
Ugh.
But don't think for a second I don't support this organization. I do. Good people, good fan base. It's a great city. How can you not love the Royals and everything they've accomplished this year? I'll freely admit this. Now, everyone can come at me with their pitchforks all they want. I did not see a playoff run this year. I saw a step forward, but man, this was five steps forwards, and I couldn't be more excited for the team right now. I think they're going to go ahead and take this wild card series. And like you said, if they win this game today, they have a hell of a pitching matchup going into the weekend against the Yankees. By the way, that five-day off scenario, I had Eduardo Rodriguez on my show yesterday. He feels the same way I do. The Yankees got a lot of swing and miss, man. This is very much available for the Royals taking if they get it done tonight.
We have played the audio of you from August when you joined us talking about that very thing multiple times, Cody, where you mentioned if you were to face a team in the postseason, maybe who would you like to see? And you mentioned the exact scenario back in August that, hey, the New York Yankees, you give them some time off and they're a little rusty and swing and miss. All that could contribute to, you know, an opportunity for the Royals, and that's maybe the team that they want to see. I know they got to handle business today, but that sets up where it could be a good thing for the Royals.
really good today. And keep on, make no mistake, I do think the Yankees are the best team in the league. But I don't need to tell you guys, it's not about the best team. If this is the best team to win the World Series every year, the Dodgers would have like 10 World Series, and they do not.
What do you make of, like, so typically, and you've watched a lot of baseball over your years, seen a lot of players go through it. Do you think when it comes to the playoffs and, like, that clutch factor or performing in the playoffs, you either just, like, have it or you don't? I mean, Cole Rankins was in his first ever playoff start and dominated. Mikel Garcia has been bad, honestly, for the Royals for the last 60 days, and seemingly like his cousin, Alcides Escobar, turns it on a little different when the lights are on. Is it just as simple as you have it or you don't, and no amount of time is going to make a difference? Or is there an advantage for these teams who have, like, maybe played in a few of these?
The answer is yes and no to everything you just asked. The real answer, I think, at the end of the day, is that baseball is just weird. I mean, people come and rise to the occasions at the weirdest moments, and also guys get cold at the weirdest moments. As much as I want to say, now make no mistake, Reagan's absolutely dominated that game yesterday, and it was a phenomenal watch to see. But let's be real clear. A lot of teams going into the playoffs, the bats get cold. It's a combination of a lot of things. It's a different environment. It's a different crowd. It's a different exposure. Hell, these are teams right now, specifically the Royals. I mean, I don't think I need to tell you guys, the Royals aren't moving a ton of paper as far as the national media landscape. So this is really a coming out party for every member of this team, except for maybe Salvador Perez, because he's might be the only guy that the most of the country actually knows. Same with Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. needs to be a star, and this is an opportunity for him to become a legit star. Don't think he's not one of the best in baseball. He absolutely is. But I want people to talk about him the way we started talking about Mike Trout 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think somebody put out that Mike, unfortunately for Mike Trout, that I think Bobby Wood Jr. already has, is it as many playoff wins than Mike Trout had in his career? Yeah. That's just sad to say, right?
Very, very, very sad to say.
Cody Decker joining us here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned Bobby Wood Jr. there as well. What do you make of the decision there? I know Brandon Hyde, the Orioles manager, was asked about it. He said he left it up to Corbin Burnes, but they pitched to Bobby Wood Jr. there instead of walking him to bring up Vinny Pasquantino, who hadn't hit in a month.
You know how this goes, man. I think they made the right decision by going after him. It's not like he hit a three-run home run. He did an RBI single, and it was a 1-0 ball game. I think if you give him the opportunity to make that decision today, he won't make the same mistake twice, and he'll probably pitch around him and make the rest of the team beat him. But it won't matter, because you put that man on base, barring the fact that you might be clogging the base if there's somebody else on first base and so there's runners on first and second, Bobby Witt Jr. is just going to take second base. And if that happens, all of a sudden you got chaos on the base path. You had yourselves movement. And I don't think that's something that the Orioles want. Just because Bobby Witt Jr. can absolutely be in scoring position with nobody on base and he is just in the box by himself, you don't want Bobby Witt Jr. on the base path in a playoff scenario either.
Is this why the Royals do better when they get to the – look, they don't get to the postseason often, Cody, admittedly. I've been in Kansas City my whole life. I get it. But when they get to the postseason, they seem to have a lot more success than other teams. Yesterday with Baltimore, Ryan O'Hearn gets on base with a walk. They got no one to just get on the base paths and actually do something for them. Score from first on a double, steal a base so that a single's away, score on a pass ball. Are there teams that make the mistake of not structuring their playoff rosters – around the need for one run matters more in the postseason?
I don't know if it's necessarily a mistake. More so, the Royals just need to build themselves differently. I don't think it's out of the realm of obviousness that this is a team that doesn't spend a ton of money. That this last year kind of a bit of an outlier. But like this offseason, Juan Soto's going to be a free agent. Are the Royals going to be in on him? Absolutely not. They have to build.
I mean, I hope so, but probably not.
I mean, I would love it, and he would look so good in that unit. But let's be real clear. It probably just not. Ain't happening. So they got to build from within, and they have to build different ways. And one of the ways they've already shown the proven model from the previous regime is basically just trying to create yourselves a God-tier bullpen, which they have done a pretty good job of getting a starting staff, making some interesting moves. But even though they spent $100 million this offseason, it's not like every name that they got was like, oh, man, this is the one that's going to do it. It's not about getting the best players. It's about getting the right players. And this Royals front office has done a phenomenal job of getting the right players. And it's not necessarily being that team that wins 9 out of 10 every single 10 games, but winning 6 out of 10 and being consistently winning 6 out of 10, squeaking in a 7 out of 10 type of scenario. this is a very sustainable model for this team in a very tough division, because it's a similar model to what the Cleveland Guardians are doing. It's a similar model now that the Detroit Tigers are doing. I think this is going to be one hell of a dogfight in this division for years to come. And I think that the Royals have everything available to them right now to win a World Series. We'll just see how it plays out, because, one, they got to win this one against the Orioles, and we can't pretend that the Orioles are a bad team. They are not. They're just playing bad baseball for the last 30 days, and it's a bad time to get cold. Then they're going up against the Yankees. If they can catch the Yankees on a bit of a cold streak, this just might be a team of destiny. I just don't know what we're going to see out of it yet. But, man, as a baseball fan, as a supporter of the Kansas City Royals, I'm all for it, bro.
Somebody that got a lot of people excited yesterday going into the game was Vinny Pasquantino. The fact that a month after breaking his thumb, he was able to be in the lineup. I know he didn't come up with a hit yesterday, but just speak to how amazing that recovery is. And then also the challenges that he's probably facing right now, just from a timing perspective, how hard it is for him to jump right back into the lineup with no rehab assignment or anything and try to contribute to this team.
Dude, I just told you how hard it's going to be for the Yankees to take 5 days off. Imagine 35 days off. Listen, his bat just being a presence in the lineup. We already saw it actually come to fruition yesterday. He didn't need to get the hit. He just needed to be there so they pitched to Bobby Witt Jr. Now that that's worked out, hopefully he's gotten himself four at-bats under his belt. He can kind of get his timing a little bit there and maybe get on base on his own merits. But so far, just his overall presence has helped them win a baseball game.
I want to ask you one small thing about something he mentioned yesterday from a former professional standpoint. He'd mentioned in his press conference he had to change to a lighter-colored bat, and it was like throwing him off watching his swing through the zone. I don't know why. It must be like the composite or makeup of the bat relative to how he holds it in his thumb. Does that make a big difference for baseball players, the color of their bat?
Listen, baseball players are weird, dude. It could be anything. It could be we didn't like how we sat on the toilet yesterday, so we have to change how we sat on the toilet yesterday. Trust me, we're superstitious to a fault. It's stupid. It makes no sense. The color of the bat has no bearing on the hitter life or the swing. But you know what? If he thinks it does, you betcha it does.
Last one for you, Cody. Tigers, you mentioned them. They're playing as good a baseball as anybody. How do you see that playing out? Do you think both AL Central teams get into the next round?
I think they're both going to get to the next round. I currently have both of them ending in the next round, but I would very much like to be wrong. The Detroit Tigers are a very, very exciting little surprise. Who actually saw that coming, especially going into September? I'm always a fan of watching the Minnesota Twins collapse. I'm not even certain why I like watching the Minnesota Twins collapse. It's just a hobby of mine every single September, and why would we stop this year?
Cody Decker from SiriusXM's Mad Dog Radio. You can hear him on Beetle and Decker. Appreciate it, man, and we'll have to see you out in Vegas sometime soon.
Bro, I'm always in Vegas. Come find me. Let's do some stuff. Go Royals.
Yeah, there you go. Cody Decker with us. Thinking of Las Vegas, we are going to be in Vegas
sure.
3.5 weeks from now, something like that.
3 weeks, I think. I don't even know.
23rd, I think.
I was like, I don't think you need to add the half week. I think it's three
That's
weeks
true.
From today.
We'll be out there.
Three weeks from tomorrow, we'll start hosting.
Chiefs Raiders. We'll be out at Circa Las Vegas. If you're going to be out there that weekend, maybe you're on the fence. I was talking to somebody yesterday after we were here. I went to another place afterwards to meet up with some friends, and they were talking about it as well. I think I got two more people to make
got
the
them
trip
locked
out,
in, huh?
To Las Vegas to join us there. We're going to have a big party on that Friday night, a chance to win some tickets to game day as well. It's going to be a lot of fun out there. But what Decker said when you asked about Vinny and changing the bat and all that, it sounds like, one, superstition, but also maybe the bat's a little lighter on the thumb versus the black bat that he was dealing with before.
I think that there probably is like a slight weight difference, and he wants to be faster through the zone. He likes to carry a heavier bat probably for the, you know, same thing. More pressure applied to the baseball, further the ball might go, harder he might hit it. But if that's the sacrifice he's got to make, we talked about it yesterday, he's still 90% of Vinny is better than the alternative. 80% of Vinny is better than the alternative. I imagine they thought about that very carefully when they were making this decision about whether or not to play him. But it sounds like they've been thinking about it for 10 days. Yesterday was perfect because they didn't need Vinny to come back through. But I'll still say that the threat of Vinny behind Bobby Witt Jr.
Absolutely.
At least forced them to throw to Bobby Witt Jr., the person who had the game-winning and the only RBI of the game. If that is Yuli Gurriel, or that is Hunter Renfroe, or Tommy Pham, or Mass, whoever the hell it would have been behind him, they walk Bobby. And that player has to come through. And maybe they do. you know what? Maybe they come through. Maybe Gurriel comes through with the hit. But I'd rather take my chance with Bobby coming through on that hit, which he did, than anyone else in the lineup. So Vinny's threat was real, and as a result of that, they actually threw to Bobby.
We'll see if that same type of scenario comes up again today. You like the Royals in their pitching matchup in particular, the edge that they have with Seth Lugo. How do you see this one going? We'll ask the text line as well, 913-586-7965. Do they wrap this thing up today, or are we stressing out tomorrow and sweating out a game three in the afternoon again? Or can we go ahead and, after this game today, be able to focus in on the Yankees Saturday?
I'll say history's on your side. 8-0 since the wild card expanded to 3 playoff teams, because I think you're getting less quality teams in there. They have won this series, and 7 of those 8 times they have swept. So if I'm supposed to predict what happens today, I'll take history. 7 of 8 times it's just been a clean sweep, and they won both games. Royals win today. Low scoring again. I don't know, 3-2. I don't imagine we're going to be able to get out of this thing stress-free. I can't remember the last time the Royals went through a stretch of baseball games where they're winning by 2 or 3 runs a pop, 3 or 4 or 5 runs a pop. I think it's probably 3-2. Royals win.
Yesterday, I think I said 4-2. I think I don't want to give you the exact same score, but it's probably in that area. 3-2. 4-2.
We both thought 4-2 yesterday. It being 1-0.
Yeah, so. I'll go 4-2 again today. How about that? I'll just roll with 4-2 again today. I think there's an opportunity. There's a drop off in pitching quality from what the Royals saw yesterday in Corbin Burns to Eflin today. I'm not saying he's bad, but
I think it's an advantage to get him early.
And when you look at Baltimore, as much as we've talked about the Royals' offensive issues, it's not like that offense has been hitting great recently. Yeah, on paper, they're a better offense. But if they go and only have a hit or two through the first 3 or 4 innings, the same thing we said on the Royals' side, but the difference is their season is truly on the line today in Baltimore. So if you can get a couple innings of Seth Lugo looking like he has a majority of the season, a guy that was an all-star, if that kind of Seth Lugo shows up in this spot and honestly, I kind of expect that to be the case. And we're here in the fourth inning, and the Orioles have one hit, two hits, no runs. Even if the Royals are in the same spot, I think advantage still continues to be the Royals at that spot, because they're the team that is going to have all the pressure today there in Baltimore. And what Vern mentioned with us earlier today, that is few innings of that, and all of a sudden that crowd is completely quiet. They get nervous themselves, and they start thinking worst-case scenario stuff. That trickles down to the clubhouse or to the dugout as well. So I think the Royals are in a really good spot, as long as they don't drop 2 runs early and give all the momentum and energy in the building to Baltimore.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most important. Eflin gave up. He only went 4 2/3, gave up 4 runs in his last start, but he's got a little over 3 earned run average in September. So he's had a nice September. Not surprising he's their selection today, but still, it's not Corbin Burns.
Guy stepping up today, Hunter Renfro, back in the lineup. He's 5 of 13 against Zach, so let's go with Hunter Renfro. That's my player to watch to come up with
that's
a big
your guy?
Hit. To come with a big hit today, Hunter Renfro. Who's your guy, Vinny?
Well, I mean, if Vern and I are buying any shots, it's probably that. But, I wouldn't bet against that, but I also wouldn't bet against Michael Garcia.
All right, we hope to see you out here at Jefferson's in Lenexa. 3:38 first pitch right here on 96.5. The Fan, Vern's On Deck Show, coming up right after us.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.